Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 355 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Joe, joined by Todd. Todd, how are we doing today?
Seem to be amped up today, Joe. Ready to talk comics.
That's right. Everybody listen to this on their Wednesday morning drive to their job. This is Wild Comic Wednesday here at Longbox Heroes.
That's right. Slurp some coffee and go to work with Longbox Heroes. Oh, my goodness.
That's the 5 o'clock whistle blowing. Or something. I don't know.
Are we going to do the weather on the 10s?
We got to sweep the quarter hour. You know, you got to get people listening through those rock blocks.
Oh, boy.
This will all make sense on Friday.
That's right. Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
That's right. Speaking of which, in the news today, we have a discussion of one of the biggest news stories in TV history, I'd say, to come down
the pike.
And also how the sequel to one of the much-loved TV shows of both Todd and I is horning in on my creation, Fake Free Comic Book Day.
What?
We also have conventions and digital comic sales and all sorts of jazz like that. Hey, Todd, did you know there's more than one comic book convention this weekend?
There is?
There's two more!
Ooh.
I hope I spiked everyone's eardrums there. So we're going to be discussing a little bit of the comics that we read from this past week, which is Dark Days the Casting, and the return of the preview review titles, with one of the latest offerings from Image Comics, what we're looking forward to coming out this week, and the latest installment of Todd and Joe Have Issues, where we're going to be discussing Justice League International number 8.
And I will reveal which version I read.
Oh, boy. And no other TV news, no other comic book news, no other nothing. Like, no discussions at the end of the show. It's going to be a quiet couple months at the end of the show.
That's right. I don't think there's any comic book TV or movies until Thor?
Well, movies until Thor, but I think with TV, whenever Walking Dead and or Flash and or Legends of Tomorrow come back.
Yes, even though Walking Dead had that horrible accident on set.
Oh, they did. I missed this. Inform me.
There was one of the stuntmen fell off a wall or something. Like, I don't know the gist of what happened, but they fell and they smacked their head really bad like a day or so ago. And they announced the other day that they stopped production because of it. And then he had passed away from the injuries suffered from the bang to the head. So I don't know, like, how long, you know what I mean? I granted that, and I don't mean to sound, you know, macabre or anything like that, but I don't think the number one show on cable is going to be slowed down too much. Like, they'll come back, but they'll take their time. It won't miss a beat, is what I'm saying.
Well, they usually don't come back until, like, the second week of October-ish.
For Comic-Con, usually.
Right, right.
New York Comic-Con.
But, you know, you never know. This is what I get for not following that side of the comic book things. Like, it fell in my lap today that The Rock is no longer doing the Shazam movie.
That's right. I saw that, too.
Right.
So, he would have made a great Black Adam, but what are you going to do?
Listen, if the trade-off for him not being Black Adam is him being the president...
Oh,
I think I'll let this one slide.
And we get more Ballers on HBO.
Oh, man.
Which starts this week, so season 3. Last we saw, he was getting a hip replacement, so we don't know how that turned out.
Do you watch Ballers?
Yes, Rob Corddry's on Ballers. I love Ballers.
I do love Rob Corddry.
So it's fun if you're like a sports fan, like to see the inside life, and like they'll have the real sports players on who can't do things, like, you know, and then they'll have the fake sports players who get into all the trouble.
Is this just a modern day retelling of First and Ten?
Yes and no, because it's not one team where Rob Corddry and The Rock are trying to start a a firm in this big company that like manages money, but just for rich, high profile sports players. So you don't just get football players. Like right now, they're just getting football players because The Rock's character is a former football player. So they're trying to use his friendships to get clients. But they also like, they're like, oh, well, we tried to get this tennis player, or golf player at some point. So at some point, they're going to try to diversify and, you know, stuff like that. So it's not exactly the same thing.
There's a there review now, of Ballers for everyone.
That's right. Now, who was needs After Dark? I could ball on this show.
Right. So let's get into that big TV news, of course. It was the talk of Twitter for the last couple days. No matter how much you went around, you couldn't escape it. WWE canceled Talking Smack. I know we're upset about it, everyone, but this great national nightmare will pass. We still have all the clips of Daniel Bryan talking about the big giant fist that used to be on the old SmackDown set, calling James Ellsworth the big hog, and doing the big hog dance before the show starts. Oh, we'll always have the memories of that show. And that's really the only thing that happened, right?
Oh, yes, in TV news, in yes. fake TV news, in real news, in real documentary TV, they announced who would be replacing the Doctor. For the first time in the history of Doctor Who, except for a parody video, it is going to be a female Doctor. That she's going to change gender for, well, I don't know how Time Lords have gender. We don't even want to get into that. But so they announced it, and I was talking about with somebody, I think I might even talked about it with Mark Cole on his podcast, is that I felt that they were angling towards that because there was a lot of stuff in the last few seasons of, like, a while back during the 11th Doctor's run, they mentioned that a Doctor could change sexes from man to woman or woman to man. We weren't sure if he was joking or not. But then it happened with the Master. The Master turned into Missy. And then we actually saw him to get away. He's like, he shot another Time Lord and they regenerated. And in front of us, they went from a man, an old man, to a younger black woman. I'm like, so now we know they can change, you know, race and everything. So I was watching this going, I have a feeling, but when they did it, Twitter went nuts. Social media went nuts over it.
Before you get into that, me as a non-Doctor Who person,
mm-hmm.
I think in our limited discussions of Doctor Who, when they announced that Capaldi wasn't going to be coming back,
right,
I think most people, or at least that's the impression that I got, felt that it was a foregone conclusion that the next Doctor was going to be female.
Right. And during the last, when Capaldi was announced,
mm-hmm.
it really hit the fan online. It was like, yet again, another white, you know, white male. And then on top of that, older white male. Like, how far could you get from, like, diversity or whatever? And I was like, whatever. I'm not really even going to get into that because my thing is, when it comes to the Doctor, is I've watched, I don't know how many regenerations now. All joking aside, I've seen so many. And whether I like the Doctor or not, there's been a few that weren't so great. There's always a moment, especially the new ones, where they become your Doctor. And you're like, okay, this person I'm not ready for yet. And then you're like, all right, now they're the Doctor. Eccleston, kind of, when they came back, you just had a grant. There it was, because he was the first one in a while. And if you're a fan of the show, when Tennant throws the Sycorax guy off the ship, and he's all like, I'm a man who doesn't give second chances. I'm like, there's my Doctor. 11th Doctor, when he tells the alien, do some research on me before you attack this planet. And they show the holograms of all the Doctors before him. And he walks through the holograms, tightening his bow tie. And he's like, it's me. And you're like, okay. And then there's another moment with Capaldi where he begs Clara to notice me because it's scary to be the new version of the Doctor, which was kind of like meta, but really good. So you got to give them a chance. I have no definitive like opinion on a female Doctor. I will admit, when I was younger, I would have lost my mind. I would have, you can't do that. That's terrible. But like, I've gotten older, and Jane Foster, Thor, that's what I want. Do it good. And all will be free, you know, all will be okay. Not forgiven, but okay. And that's what it is. That's the way I look at it. Just give me good stories, fun, and you know, you're gonna do okay. But I do have some weird takes on it. So
okay. So before you get into your weird takes on it, if you will, my thing about it is, does it really matter at this point, 2017, because you mentioned yourself when you were younger, you might have blown a gasket, and obviously you've gotten to a point, and it's a different era. If you took Todd of 2017 back to that era, or whenever they might have done this, I'm sure you would have had a similar reaction or otherwise to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it... Okay. Has this most recent season with Capaldi been good or bad?
And there you go. That's the hot take that I was going to throw out.
Okay, go
it's,
ahead.
He has been a great doctor who was given nothing to work with. So it hasn't been very good. He's done a couple of seasons. There was a middle season where it was one of the best seasons that they've done, but sandwiched by a lot of not very good. Plus you throw on top that he's not a young person, so maybe he's not as relatable to the younger fans. Like, to me, I know old doctors from the beginning. You know what I mean? Like, the first Hartnell was really old as the first doctor. So even a lot of fans were like, it's kind of, you know, he's kind of old, and he's a curmudgeon who softens over the course. So you don't have a likable, young, quirky doctor that everybody got into liking. Now, the thing that for me was, I read a lot of there's this Doctor Who site that sells merchandise, and it's a big Doctor Who store in America, and they do all the big cons, and it's called Who America, and they have other British stuff, but they have that. And I read their forums because they'll announce like what toys and what products that they'll get. And they had a beef with Capaldi, and it was interesting to hear a business person have a beef with Capaldi, because they're like, since he became this older guy that's not as likable and not as quirky and young and handsome as Tennant, people say Matt Smith is cute. I don't know. I'm just using that as an example, that how they lost sales, that they were getting less, BBC was giving them less merchandise, and they were selling less of the merchandise that they had. So I'm guessing this, like, Capaldi wasn't marketable as a doctor. And then this was Capaldi's dream job. Like, he was literally like the head of the Doctor Who fan club or something like that as a kid. And he has many, like, in the Doctor Who dirt sheets of the day, they dredged up all these letters that he had about like stuff, like being a true, true fan. And he was like, oh, this is my dream job. I'm going to stay around after the showrunner Moffat leaves. I'm going to stay. And I want to stay if they'll have me. And I joked with somebody is where everybody's like, oh, well, you know, Capaldi left. I said, I don't think he fell so much as he was pushed. Like, there's a lot of weird stuff behind the scenes. And I think it has to do with the ratings declining and the sales in toys and merchandise. And I don't know how much a woman character is going to pick up. Like, are you going to pick up new female watchers? I don't know. It's uncharted territory, and I'm very interested to see how it goes.
Right. So I guess the other question is, you know, obviously that's a very interesting take in regards to Capaldi and just not being quote unquote marketable. But marketable being one thing, the show being good is another.
Mm-hmm.
So is this actress any good?
Yes. I forgot to bring her name. I saw her on the new showrunner that's coming in is the guy who did Broadchurch. on BBC, and it came to America on BBC America, and she was the wife of a character on there, and I've only seen her in that, but she was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a good actress. And the guy who's writing the show wrote Broadchurch. So it seems like a nice fit that they know each other and know about each other. So I'm cool with it because she's a good actress. Now, people have had problems with the guy who's doing, who wrote Broadchurch and taking over the show. And he was kind of doing a bunch of episodes for the Doctor Who spinoff show, Torchwood, that, I know a few people who listen to this show, they're not a big fan of him, but I like his Torchwood and I liked his Broadchurch, so give me his Doctor Who and we'll see how it goes. Am I answering your questions okay?
To the best of your ability, I would say.
Okay. Does it make any sense to you, a non-Doctor Who fan?
No. I guess.
Say no.
Well, no. My concern with this is, and obviously taking out of it whatever, you know, my feelings about Doctor Who is, and I rib you and Doctor Who because I love.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen, what, a minute teaser of who this person is?
Right.
Let's wait and see how the episodes actually go before we lose our minds.
Okay, I'm just confused because you're not aiming at me, right?
No, I'm aiming that at in like general to the right to the world.
I'm the same way. Like I said, I'll be wonky when she comes, and I'll be like, okay, there's the moment where she nails it and she's good to go. I agree. You have to let it go. And then on top of that, Joe, she hasn't even gotten her official outfit yet, so it could be anything. That's not official in that little trailer.
Right.
That's going to be her costume. And that's big. That's part of the, that's a wink and a nod to the microphone. But yeah, there's lots more to go, you know? Sorry, I keep stepping all over you on this Doctor Who talk because you're the expert here.
Right, exactly. I'm the one who cares.
But this does give us a 14th episode or a 13th episode of Gallifrey Birds.
Well, there's only 12 months in the year, Todd. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, this will be, you know, an extended down the line. Doesn't have to be every month, but when there's a good episode of the 13th Doctor, you know what? We can do another Gallifrey Birds.
Well, I'll take that under advisement, Todd. I don't know about
that. No, the deal was that you would watch an episode of every Doctor, and now there's one more. So you're locked in for life, brother.
Oh, boy.
Hope she's a success for years and years and years.
So, and I guess in closing, I guess, you know, you're the one who got to see a little bit more of the reaction to this online than I did, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I personally went out of my way to avoid as much of it as I could.
Did you mute the hashtags and stuff?
Well, the problem is, when you mute one hashtag, people just find more and more ways to get it into my feed, whether it be on purpose or not. So it was just like, yeah, this is a fool's errand here today.
A losing battle.
That's correct. But anyway, was the general consensus positive, negative? Is it a mix, like split right down the middle?
You know what? From what I've seen, and I didn't go too far into it because it really doesn't affect me, is it seemed more positive than negative. It seemed, you know what? I was shocked to see a wait and see attitude. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Where there was a lot of, like, I was running around Twitter and I saw a lot of, oh, I'm never watching it again. But I saw a lot more of, it's about time and wait. Less it's about time, more wait and see. About the same for it's about time and I hate this, and a lot of wait and see, if that's the best way to put it.
Yes.
So, but, you know, I know you were worried, so.
Well, it's not that I was worried. It was just because I know Doctor Who is a thing for you.
The last thing that I'll say on it is that kind of worries me is she better not fail. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, boy.
Like, and I don't mean fail in, I mean, like, they better write her some good episodes because she's a good actress. Because if this tanks, you got, you know what's going to climb out of the woodwork. You know what I mean? It was because she was a woman. It was because of this. And I'm like, go back to Colin Baker and tell me, that didn't work because he was a woman. No, it was because the scripts were terrible. So that's the only thing that I hope for is that I actually want it to be really good. You know me. I want to like it.
Right. And that's the thing at the end of the day, of course, with you, I know you're not looking for the things that you like to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, you're looking for the things that you like to be good.
And it seems like people root sometimes against the things. I don't know. I don't get it.
Or people who default to no.
Mm-hmm.
Or two other letters.
Right. So.
Whoever that may be.
I think I know who you're talking about. Wink.
So, again, I'm glad we got a chance to kind of cover some of that on here. I'm also saying because it was a little bit of a slow news week because, and of course we'll get into it here, in a little bit how a lot of the news is being held off for this weekend. But one of the things that was announced that the quote-unquote sponsor for Halloween Comic Fest this upcoming October is going to be the second season of Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Stranger Things, I see, is something that I'm certain that we'll be discussing on the show when that comes out.
That's right. Did you watch all of Stranger Things?
I did.
I forget, because I don't think we ever ended up talking about it. Do you know what I mean?
Not only did I watch it,
mm-hmm.
but my wife and I watched it together.
And did she like it?
She did like it.
So then you'll get to see season two.
Correct.
See, I know how the Sposto household works now.
Right.
What does the pecking order go? Asa, April, you?
There's you have to say Asa, April, then me.
Right, that's what I said. Asa, April, you.
No, you have to take a much longer pause.
Oh, so it's Asa, April, you.
That's about right.
Okay, just checking.
The longer the pause, the better.
Right. Well, you know what? I didn't want to leave too much dead air.
Right.
Then people would be like, what's wrong with this podcast? We don't have time for that.
This is where we'll put in the commercials for something.
That's a handy holder or something. But anyway.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Whatever that is. but yeah, so again, it's a light news week, of course, because this weekend is San Diego Comic-Con. And a lot of the companies have been dripping stuff out in drabs and so forth here, there, and everywhere. But nothing too, too big has really been announced. You know, we're starting to see some of the October solicitations.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to see some of the official Marvel legacy books getting their official numberings and things like that. But really nothing that has shattered the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, next week I'm sure it'll be a much larger news week. But speaking of news, and speaking of comic book conventions, there are two other conventions, Todd, a little bit further away from San Diego. And San Diego doesn't need our assistance, Todd.
They do, but they don't know it.
Right, they do. Right, exactly. There you go. You gotta be positive.
Mm-hmm.
So there is the Ohio Toy and Comic Con in Fairborn, Ohio. There's no named guest there per se. But again, it's a convention. It's in Ohio. If you're in the Midwest, go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Texas, there is the Corpus Christi Comic-Con. And they actually have folks that are going to be there. There's Power Ranger folks that are going to be there. Wrestling folks and Kevin Nash and Carly Perez. Oh boy, keep those two away from each other. Booker's T is going to be there, and John Wesley Shipp. Now, the most surprising thing about that is that John Wesley Shipp's not at San Diego.
Well, he could run there really fast and make it.
Well, that's true. I didn't look to see if he was double booked for the weekend.
That's right. Put the hat on and go.
Right, but the links to all of these are going to be in the show notes, of course. And hey, listen, San Diego's happening this weekend as well. And I would guess that pretty much everyone else in the world of both comics and entertainment are going to be there. I know Disney had their deal this past weekend. where they announced a bunch of stuff there. I'm sure it'll be a busy show next week with all the San Diego stuff.
My favorite thing that they announced from that happened when it came to the I think it's called D23 this time because they keep numbering it, was that they had for the Infinity War movie. They're like, oh, we're gonna unveil four new characters from the Infinity War movie, and everybody was like, it's the Fantastic Four. Guess what, Joe?
It wasn't. It was like Thanos' kids or something, right?
Yeah, it was the Black Alliance or whatever it is from the comic. And I was like, it's not the Fantastic Four. Every time someone mentions the Fantastic Four is coming back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I die a little bit inside.
I was going to say, every time somebody mentions it in an actual serious way, that's just another 6 months that they get pushed back on the schedule.
Exactly. It just makes me so sad. It's like, stop reporting this stuff.
Now, speaking of the schedule, you know, we kind of discussed about The Rock leaving the Shazam movie, but I guess there was a news story that there's two mystery movies that have shown up on the DC schedule for 2020.
Ooh. That seems optimistic.
What am I doing with this information?
Well, we're going to speculate on what movies they could be.
Right.
I'm going to say one is Blue and Gold.
Okay.
Which would be fantastic, because I would love to see a Booster Gold and Blue Beetle movie in the Snyderverse.
Oh, boy.
And then what? Legion of Super Pets. There you go. There's your two movies, Joe.
I was going to say it was going to be the IMAX Space Cabbie movie as the lead-in for the Space Cabbie TV show.
Oh, my goodness. Into Green Lantern Corps.
Yes,
Venditti will be writing it. I would kill for a Space Cabbie movie. And like we said, they always fight Space Uber.
Well, again, I do my best to avoid the news and any sort of discussion whatsoever of any of the TV shows that I watch. So I don't know. You know, they could have announced Space Cabbie is going to be in this season of Legends of Tomorrow, and I just don't know yet.
I know he was in an episode of the cartoon that's on.
Okay.
And I think Jonah Hex was in an episode recently too, so I have to check on that. But
what if one of them action show?
Yes. Mm. And what about a Captain Compass movie? Oh, that would be fantastic. Lots of good stuff. I'm gonna bust out my Who's Who, and over the course after this show drops, I'm gonna drop pictures of who the DC movies could be. That'll be a fun gig till next week.
There was and we're gonna get into the rest of the show, I promise. There was another podcast that I listened to where they will take a pop culture. The podcast is called Laser Time. Not that they need our assistance,
right?
So whatever, like a pop culture thing that's going on, like if it's themed, of course they'll talk about it. If it's not themed, then no big deal. But this week they were talking about ape stuff because, of course, the new Planet of the Apes movie came out, right?
I know.
And they did a part in their podcast, a segment discussing something that's been discussed here on the show before.
What was that?
The run of DC Comics from the 50s to the early 80s about the monkey covers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, did we talk about this part or not, where it was an edict that said, you know, obviously they discussed that anytime that there was a monkey on the cover of something, the sales on that issue went up.
Right.
So apparently everybody wanted to put monkeys on their cover.
Right. There, if you can find the issue of Secret Origins, you remember when there was the Secret Origins book?
Absolutely.
There was one on it, and there was like a monkey in a cage with a purple sky, with dinosaurs in the background in a jungle, and it said on the cover, and this is, I use this quote all the time whenever I'm in the shop and somebody mentions monkeys in a comic or apes or whatever. Why is this monkey crying?
Mm-hmm.
And inside the back of that comic was all the things that DC said made their sales go up when they put it on a question. someone in a cage. Like I said, all the things that I said, and that one of them was apes. There was a reason that there was a lot of apes on DC covers at the time.
Right. Well, I guess what the issue was, the issue, you know, pun intended, was that every company or every comic in DC wanted to put monkeys on the cover because of how well they were selling. Mm-hmm. And then an editorial edict came down that there could only be one monkey cover a month.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, because it was getting that out of hand.
That's fantastic.
Right. So that was the one bit of information that I got from the Laser Time podcast listening to it today.
See, you know what? I should listen to a podcast occasionally.
Nah, you're not missing out on anything.
Hey, did you know that episode 3 of Longbox Heroes is called Why Is This Monkey Crying? I wonder if we talked about this on that episode.
I think we did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, the links to this information will be in the show notes, as will information about the soon-to-be-named network at soon-to-be-named-network.com, at soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com as well. Any of the shows in our fine network, anytime that they do put out a new episode, of course it will be linked there. And whether that be episodes of this show, episodes of Longbox Heroes After Dark, Fresher in Parlance, Profane Arguments, Puzzle Warriors 3, Podvocacy, and Aim Down Sights podcast. Now, I'm again mentioning the shows that have had episodes happen recently, and of course when these other shows do come back, I'm sure they'll let me know, and I'll be sure to plug them where I can, of course. Now, the other thing that I also want to mention here is any time that the folks in the Soon to Be Named Network appear on other shows, we do mention those here, and Jason Kirk of Podvocacy is actually going to be hosting the Radio Free Cybertron, which is like the big Transformers podcast. He is going to be hosting their live coverage of the Hasbro San Diego panel this Thursday at 2.
Wow.
I won't be home when that actually happens, but before I leave for work, I'll probably put a link to that up on the site. And Craig, one-third of the Puzzle Warriors 3, was recently on Winter Palace podcast with friend of the show Mark Cole, so that'll be up on the site here as well. So it's been a busy week for the soon-to-be-named network.
Let me know if Mark Cole and Craig talk about Rogue and Gambit in Puzzle Quest. So,
my friend Jesse's got that taken care of. He's in a... Todd, you're a tech guy.
Of course, I'm the tech guy of the show.
Right. So, my friend Jesse from the Longbox Heroes Alliance, Marvel Puzzle Quest... He is in something called Discord, which is this online chat program that I'm unaware of.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the people who make the Marvel Puzzle Quest game are in there as well, the actual developers. Right. And every once in a while, Jesse will just like start, as they say, trolling people about Rogue and Gambit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just today, the developers piled on with him.
Oh, my goodness. That makes things much worse sometimes.
Makes things much better.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, of course, all that will be in the show links, as will the links to all the digital sales and freebies. Now, a lot of the stuff that we had mentioned last week are still up. The Marvel bestseller stuff, IDW having a line-wide sale, Boom having a sale on all their Plants vs. Zombies stuff. Boom is also having a separate sale on their Adventure Time comics. Dark Horse is also having a line-wide sale as well, and that's another one. When these companies do their line-wide sales, you got to be careful because those ones, you have to put a code in before you check out to get that sale. Mm-hmm. Again, that's just kind of the way, instead of just marking everything down, it's just do this code when you're putting the stuff in your cart. And... there's a sale on stuff for the comic book Valerian.
Which is a movie.
Which is an upcoming movie, which I did not know was a comic book.
Right.
Because
I think
when
it's
they
a
talk
heavy
about
metal.
It, they say from the award-winning graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I don't know no graphic novels, I know comic books. Stop trying to be so fancy.
Yes. And Joe, what's the difference between a line-wide sale and a wide-line sale.
Did I say it differently?
No, I was just busted.
Oh, okay.
Because you know I love wide lines on this show.
Right. I choose the thin line when I use my drawing tool.
Ah, good for you.
Since I have such ham fingers, of course, I have to use the thin line to make myself feel better. And also, Marvel has their digital freebies updated. They have the first issue of the Original Sin event comic available there. They have the first issue of the Century comic, like the very, very first one by Paul Jenkins. They have the first issue of Web Warriors, which spun out of one of the Spider-Man events in the last 2 years, where it was like every Spider-Man from every multiverse, whatever. There was a group of them that went through different timelines doing stuff, the first issue of that. And the first issue of the Kamala Khan Miss Marvel book, which I think they've had available for free before. And I don't have the link for it now. Of course, it won't be in these show notes, but they will be in next week's show notes in perpetuity. As I understand, the second DC Kentucky Fried Chicken crossover book will be available Wednesday through all digital media platforms.
And I think it was the third one.
What did I say?
Second one.
Oh, okay. The first and second ones are still up. I did add those links to our notes. But the third one is the one that'll be up as you're listening to this.
Mm-hmm. Does that get put on our pull list?
Does that... Well, I'm sure we'll be talking about it next week.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, we're not going to San Diego, so there's no way for us to get physical copies of that.
Speak for yourself.
You didn't give me a second to cough into the microphone there.
Mm.
So...
Maybe...
Sorry.
I was going to say, maybe one will fly my way back, you know? American Airlines to my house. You never
right.
know.
So that's what we have to look forward to. Free stuff, cheap stuff, whatever it is. Let's talk about some of the comic books that we paid money for, starting with Dark Days, the casting, the continuation of the big DC event that's going on right now, as we're getting little bits and pieces of it over the next couple months before the miniseries comes out next month. Again, Dark Days, the casting number one, written by Scott Snyder and James Tinney in the fourth, with art by Andy Kubert, Jim Lee, John Romita Jr., and many, many more.
Mm-hmm.
So, so what are your thoughts on this issue?
I thought it was okay, but they're getting into the storyline with the Joker that... Scott Snyder did with that element, and there's a lot of immortal stuff, and it seems to be like, you know, all coming together. This seems like it's the big end to Scott Snyder's Batman run almost. And it seems very past heavy on some things with like Duke and his family that they, the whole storyline that came from that. And I liked it, but I'm getting nervous that it's going to get like bigger and bigger, which was always a Scott Snyder thing that I wasn't a fan of. And then I saw on the homemade printed out PDF files of the crossovers for Dark Days that there's a lot of crossovers now that yes. This is starting to get too, like, I didn't know how big this was. Like, I just thought it was a couple of Dark Days introductions and then a couple of books here or there, and then it was over. But now this seems to be getting, like, too big for me at some point.
Well, okay, I get what you're saying, that it's a little bit too big for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to agree with you or disagree with you, but it seems as though... And I don't want to let DC have... more leeway than I would give Marvel on something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not as... It is a crossover. And it's a little bit bigger than we were initially led to believe. Correct. But that's the way that pretty much every crossover is in the 21st century. That's just the way it is. An 8-issue miniseries ends up being a 10-issue miniseries with a double-sized bonus issue. You know?
Right.
This is these two one-shots that we've had here... a mini series, which I think is only 5 issues. There's one crossover where it's crossing over with like Flash, Teen Titans, and something else for one month. And then for 2 of the 5 months, at least so far, that there's 4 one-shots.
So how many issues is that if you take out the Flash?
And it's and again, so far, that's 8, 5, we're at 15 issues.
And that includes the Teen Titans and Flash?
No, that's not including those.
See, now to me, that would be something that you would give more flack to than we're at that many when you would see, oh, Secret Empire? Well, we know we're definitely getting an extra issue. And you're like, but now we're at how, like 14 issues or so of Dark Days? That's too many.
Now, I agree, but I will say this. With something like, and, you know, obviously we could pick on Secret Empire because that's the current thing that's going on. Secret Empire has the main miniseries, plus 2 ancillary miniseries, plus it's crossing over with at least 15 other books every month for the 5 months that the book's going on for. And right. All the press stuff says, every crossover matters, everything is important, you have to read everything to know what's going on.
Right. I honestly think, see now, because this is me saying, I'm going to keep going just because they keep sliding the word crisis in.
Right.
That, like, we're on our next crisis. I've read Crisis on Infinite Earth. I've read Infinite Crisis. God Save Me. I've even read Final Crisis. So I'm willing to I'm more of a DC homer. If this was Marvel, I would have been checked out by now. As soon as I found all this out. And I think there's like even more crossovers that they're not telling us about, because I know when our local retailer printed out the PDF file that they sent them, which I think is cheap city right there as far as I'm concerned, that you have to print out your own crossover papers, your flyers. But there's more than we think. We have to get our hand, and I feel that that's the first of a 2 PDF files. So if it wasn't for that, I think I'm going to just stick with Dark Days. But the only reason I'm doing it is because I'm a DC homer, and it seems to be leading towards something crisis. And I'm wondering if it's even going to tie into the Doomsday Clock thing somehow.
Now, see, do you know what I mean? To me, that seems like it's something separate done by Geoff Johns.
But don't you feel like I said, I think we're DC homers, that if we were at Marvel, we would have been, they'll find a way. You know what I mean? They'll right. find a way. They say it won't, but they'll find a way. And that's the way I'm starting to feel with Dark Days, is they will find a way to make this relevant to Doomsday Clock somehow.
Now, I was mistaken. The first month has 4 one-shots. The third month has 2 one-shots. And for me, the way that it's going to work with these one-shots are, I'm getting the main miniseries, the DC Metal thing, right? That's a gimme. That's on the list. It's getting pulled. It is what it is. Then for the one-shots, unless it's, like, it's got, first of all, the premise of it's got to grab me, because it's essentially all these different Batman from all these different multiverses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And unless it doesn't grab me, I ain't getting it. Or unless the creative team on it is so blow away, I gotta get it, I'm getting it.
So now, but is this different for you for like something like Secret Empire or Secret Wars or whatever they had? Because that's all one run, and this is where you can pick and choose? I don't know, because I'm hoping that it'll all make sense in the long run, even if I don't read some of these issues. You know what
right,
I mean?
And I think that's a lot of it. To kind of compare it to, let's say, Secret War, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where Secret War, I read the main miniseries. And then I picked and chose on the other miniseries of a creative team, of a premise that intrigued me. Or if it was, hey, it's not the normal Thor book, but it's Jason Aaron writing Thor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already getting Jason Aaron writing Thor. Whether or not I'm getting Secret War, I'm getting this Jason Aaron Thor book.
Right.
That sort of thing. Like, if during the course of this miniseries, all of a sudden, for 4 issues, Hal Jordan of the Green Lantern Corps becomes Guy Gardner in the Green Lantern Corps, still written by Venditti. Well, I'm getting that book anyway.
Right. If they throw Dark Days, Guy Gardner in the right.
I was buying that book was on the list anyway. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to add a book to my list, and it's not going to make me pull a book off my list.
Okay.
Like it's, how the Flash thing is crossing over. I think it's crossing over with Deathstroke and Teen Titans, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting the Flash book because I get Flash already. I'm hoping it doesn't mess up the Flash storyline too much. If it does, but is intriguing enough, I'll pick up the other two books.
Which is an interesting take, because the Deathstroke book that I was enjoying went into a crossover with Teen Titans and Titans and everything. And when I came out of it, I just threw up my hands. You know what I mean? It's like you did this and now I'm completely confused because a lot of stuff happened off panel that I didn't see because I didn't buy all those other books. So I don't know. I'm just worried about DC right now with like they've been good and I think they're like, well, we got to do the big crossovers. And I don't know where I just look at it as I'm not as forgiving right now with it as you seem to be.
Gotcha. Mostly because I'm mainly just sticking to the miniseries.
Okay.
For now, but that could change.
Right. This will be a week by week basis. We'll figure it out.
Right.
We'll get through this together, Joe.
Mm-hmm. So, calling an audible here.
Okay.
Let's move on to what we're looking forward to coming out this week.
Smart move.
So, if you head over to longboxheroes.com every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern Standard Time or so, we put up the poll post, which is a link to all the books that are coming out this week, whether we get our books in print, whether we get them digitally, whether you get them mailed to your home, whether you're getting the trade, whether you're getting the oversized omnibus, however it is that you're getting your books, be forewarned, be forearmed, know what's coming out, be prepared, have enough bags and backs and short boxes and whatever it is that you need to bring your books home. The two things that Todd and I are doing with our list this year is the one thing that we've always been doing, which is attempting to guess the book the other is most looking forward to coming out this week. We're also keeping a running tally of all the books that we've purchased, also broken out by publisher. Next year, we might be adding dollar amount spent, which is another kettle of fish.
Oh, also remind me, I have some ideas about the one thing we were discussing.
All right. So, looking at Todd's list since I started the show, I am going to knee-jerk reaction and say the book you are most looking forward to coming out this week is Batman number 27.
Yes, it is, because it's a light week. There's a lot of good stuff, but there's no new things that I'm excited for and a lot of stuff that we've been, you know, over before. But Batman right now is so good, so I'm gonna swing in with that one.
All right.
So I'm looking at your list, and nothing is jumping out at me once again, so I'm going to say the same thing. Is it Batman 27?
It is Batman number 27. Same situation. I was looking at a lot of these things, and there's a lot of stuff that's either in the middle of storylines, or it's like the penultimate chapter of something. And while Batman is in the middle of something, I think this storyline so far has been really, really strong, so I'm most excited about seeing where that's going.
That's, you know what, you put it more eloquently than I could.
Right, I am the wordsmith of the show.
I'm techie, you're wordy.
Right, exactly.
You know what, we know it'd be a good nickname for you, Words.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
To shorten it up?
Yes, that would be a good way. We could call this Longbox Heroes, Techie and Words.
Oh, boy. That would be our radio DJ morning drive name.
Oh, our wacky morning DJ names, Techie and Words?
That's right. Coming at ya.
Oh, boy.
So, while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out everything else that we have over there, whether it be past editions of the Poll Post, past editions of this show, past editions of After Dark, past Todd and Joe Have Issues. Everything that we've ever done on the internet exists on that website, as well as our little button there for the store, which you could purchase t-shirts and stickers of all of our fancy stuff with our fancy logo on it from our good friend Tom Derenick. I'm not sadly going to be in Ohio this weekend for, as Todd refers to it, as Root Beer Wrestling, AIW's Absolution. which is going to kind of be a little bit bittersweet as it's the first show that they're running since the co-owner, my friend Chris, passed away. So if you're heading out there, of course, have a good time, be safe, have fun. Professional wrestling's all about having fun, and it's what Chris would have wanted.
Right.
Also, be sure to check out our Amazon link, top of the page. Anything that you need to purchase in the world can be purchased at Amazon, sometimes a little bit more expensive than others. Last week was Prime Day. We missed out on really plugging Prime Day because it was going on as the show is recorded. By the time the show last week went up, Prime Day was over, but it still did not stop you, the listeners, from picking up some choice things through our Amazon click-through, such as something called the Hot Wheels AI race system, which I don't know what that is. It's some sort of newfangled Hot Wheels thing that is out of my purview. Someone also purchased both Swamp Thing and Return of Swamp Thing on DVD.
Oh, boy.
You're going to have a fun night. I think one of those, they purchased the Blu-ray of Swamp Thing, and surprisingly, Return of Swamp Thing, not on Blu-ray, Todd.
Yet, when it gets remastered in the metal box version,
right.
And what, no Swamp Thing the series or cartoon? Oh, my God.
I think they're waiting for those to be on Blu-ray as well.
There should be a box set for Swamp Thing.
The Swamp Collection, and it comes in like a big, like, moss-covered box.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, in a like a wooden box with Swamp Thing's face. Oh, my goodness. I would buy 10 of those.
There you go.
Not two, 10.
Well, I know what you do when you buy two of something.
Right, but 10 is different.
But I also have to mention, Todd.
Go ahead. Yes.
Are you aware of a thing called a dash button?
Yes, it's a button on your dash.
No, Todd, come on. Stop being foolish. So Amazon does these things called dash button, where you buy this little thing. It's maybe like the size of like a USB, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it has the logo of your favorite item on it. And say you're running out of said item. All you have to do is get your little dash thing, hit your button, and it automatically orders it for you.
Oh, my goodness.
Now I'm
Skynet.
Right. I'm guessing this was the same person who purchased this. Because someone, through our Amazon click-through, purchased the Glad garbage bags, the Ziploc bags, the Charmin toilet paper, all laundry detergent, the Schick Hydro razor, Brita water filters, Quaker Oats, Dial liquid soap, and Glade air freshener dash buttons.
Hey, that's fine.
Somebody went dash crazy.
Oh my goodness.
And to you, whoever did that, I thank you. Make yourself known. We always like to say that. If you purchase one of these weird things that we mention on the show, give us a shout. Let us know. You know, people in the past who purchased, what was it, pressure washers? What do they buy?
Oh, there was someone who bought foam buttocks at one point.
Right, right.
I'm down to know who's getting all this good stuff.
Right. If we mention on the show, give us a shout and we'll talk about it. We'll give you a shout out on the show.
That's right. You can be one of those mega mass listeners, people thingies.
Right. Ultra mass mega homicide listeners.
Yeah. We got to come up with it. Yeah. Something like that.
Right. So, of course, you know, follow us on Twitter. I'm Joe Sposto. Todd's Roker the Joker. Show is Weekly Long Box. Soon to be named network is STBN Network. And of course, Todd's Art Attack. Did we have not one but two art attacks this week, Todd?
Yes, we did. The first one was from Jeremy T. Dennis, who's Yako.org on
Twitter.
Hey,
he's Twitter. The one who suggested that Superman issue we talked about a couple weeks ago.
That's right. He had a issue of one of the Transformers. He did not put who Alex Moline is who the artist was. And it's for, I don't know what issue of Transformers, but it's really nice. So good for him. And the second one was from Tim Seeley, a April O'Neil commission.
Oh, cool.
April O'Neil as She-Ra on the cover of a Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles adventure comic from IDW. That's thinking outside the box right there.
And Todd, what's going on With Hexecutions, did we not have an update, a recent appearance?
I was, and now that some of it was on me, I was waiting for, you know, a little bit. We did the review, and then I was like, oh, if people want to read the issue and they like Jonah Hex because of me, I was going to give them a few weeks. And now I have to have you pull your issue and get ready because I have some questions.
All right.
Like the way we used to. So this week there should be a new Hexecutions up, and then we should have an issue of Scooby-Doo team up in the next month. So hopefully, like I said, I hope the Scooby gang murders a whole lot of people with Jonah.
I was going to say, you think a lot of people are going to get murdered in that issue of a Scooby-Doo?
Mm-hmm. I do. Well, there are ghosts in Scooby-Doo. Ghosts.
But they're already dead.
But they're usually fake anyway.
That's true. It's Old Man Jenkins on a movie projector.
That's right, with a quarter and a flashlight.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, let's get into what we're going to close up the show with this week, which is the latest edition of Todd and Joe Have Issues, which is Justice League International number 8, written by Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis, with art by Kevin Maguire and the little backup thing there by Keith Giffen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's moving day, Todd.
Yes.
The Justice League is officially going international with embassies in New York, Russia, and Paris, and they are sending 3 to 4 groups of people to each of those locations to set those up. And, of course, as with the Justice League International, the Giffen-DeMatteis era, hilarity ensues.
Yes. And this was, to me, the beginning of that change in tone.
Mm-hmm.
Up till this point, there was some levity, but rereading this issue today before we started, I forgot just how many jokes they drop in this issue. It's one right after another. This is the Arrested Development of comic books right here. It's fantastic. And the thing that I love about this, and I know most Justice League International backwards and forwards because I read them so much, that the enemy in this book is themselves.
Nothing. Well, in each storyline, you could say that, but I would say that in the New York one, their enemy is shoddy construction.
Yes, but it's also themselves because Captain Atom hooks up the thing when they're not ready, and a Martian Manhunter goes through the floor when he should have just flew up the steps. He has flight, Joe. And Mr. Miracle should have known, which is one of my favorite gags in all of Justice League, is him parking the spaceship on top of the building, and the guy's like, that ain't gonna hold. Like, these old beams ain't sturdy enough. And I always hear it, like, the voice on Futurama or Simpsons, like, oi, that's not gonna hold there, buddy. You know, kind of a deal.
What is it, the Hank Azaria, Charles Bronson voice?
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty much.
And headed out to Emmett's Fix-It Shop to fix Emmett.
But so that's the thing. And then there's not really an enemy in the Russian one other than the guy who bugs it.
Right.
And the fact that Guy Gardner's there. And at this time, they actually acknowledge that over in Green Lantern Corps, Guy attacked Russia. And we almost went to World War III because of it.
Post Guy attacking Russia and also post Guy getting his clock cleaned.
Right, so he's the softer, gentler guy that we all know and love there for a few issues.
Right.
So, yes, and this is also the debut of the evil Manhunter Rocket Red that people forget, you know? Because were you thinking it was Dimitri?
No, I think there was some dialogue that kind of tipped it off.
Right, because that's the one that becomes in Millennium, the crossover, the first Secret Invasion.
Oh, boy.
Where who's the friends and who's the enemies? You can't tell. So he turns out to be, and then they bring in Dimitri, who appeared in issue 3 when Black Canary kicked him in the face and knocked out some teeth. People forget that, but not me. But yeah, so I just love all that and how much, like, it's just, all the goofiness, and there's no like true like evil villain in it. And then on top of that, we get to hear the utterance of the first time ever in Justice League International run, "Bwahaha," and the heart and soul of Justice League at this time. This is where the true booster, the blue and gold, begins. There's no doubt about it in my mind. This right here, them in Paris, hitting on women, and Catherine Colbert, who's a character in Justice League Europe later. It's fantastic.
Steve's mother,
yes. The Colbert family.
So from, I was gonna, now at first I was thinking to myself, I'm like, no, he had to have done the bwahaha in the issue where Guy gets knocked out. So I had to go pull that issue as well to make sure. And obviously it's not like I was doubting you or anything, mm-hmm. but I needed that extra confirmation from you to make sure that this was in fact the first utterance twice of bwahaha.
Right, it happens twice in this book, but I haven't gone back and read them. I think there might be a mwahaha at one point,
mm-hmm.
but this is the first bwahaha as far as I remember.
Now, as you mentioned, that this is the beginning of blue and gold as we would know and love them today.
Mm-hmm.
This to me also is the beginning of sarcastic John, Martian
yes.
Manhunter, because he kind of sort of cared for the previous 7 issues.
Mm-hmm.
And by this point, he's just like thrown his hands up. He's like, it is what it is. And I don't know if you noticed, they were still calling Oreos Oreos in this issue.
Oh, that goes on for another. Oh my God, that doesn't have. I think they changed it in the Ostrander Mandrake. The Ostrander Mandrake Manhunter run around, because that was around when they did DC 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
That was right around when they had to change it to Chacos. I'm not sure of the first utterance of Chacos. Or it might be in like one of those like Justice League at the time when they would do a Times Past story, like in an annual where they would do multiple stories. It might have been in there. But I'm saying Martian Manhunter. That run.
I'm looking it up.
You're looking up the first utterance of Chacos?
Correct.
See if the internet has that.
It claims. Now, Todd, you may be unaware of this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There was an issue of Martian Manhunter number 24. Which came out in 2000, they were changed over to be calling Chacos instead of Oreos.
Which, guess what, Joe, is the Ostrander Mandrake run.
There you go. But I was wondering what, you know, like when in the run. It was 2 years into the run.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that's actually a one where I believe, if I remember the issue correctly, was that it takes place in a Times Past story, and Booster and Beetle hide Martian Manhunter's Chacos, and he loses his mind because he's addicted to them.
Mm-hmm.
And he becomes like this raging monster for a little bit. And that's when I think he goes to like, you find out that he went to like Chacos Anonymous or something like that.
He was he's a chocoholic.
That's right. He's fueled by Choco Hall.
Just like Venom learned that the chemical inside candy bars was the same as eating brains, so that's how he became a good guy.
Yes, yes.
That was his baby face turn.
Yes. And he would be swinging through New York eating. And because there's nothing like the cliche ripped open chocolate bar.
Right.
You know, where it's like the tin foil is peeled down halfway and he'd have one in each hand. You know, it's like, oh, if you don't know what a half-open chocolate bar looks like, Venom has one in each hand.
But, yeah, the cover of that issue is John on a throne of Chacos with Booster and Beetle barely visible underneath the throne.
George R. R. Martin's Chaco of Thrones.
Is the bloom off that rose yet?
What, Game of Thrones? It just started this week.
Oh, boy.
The second to last season.
Allegedly.
No, it's that'll be over, and then the spinoff will happen. Or the prequel. I'm not sure.
If we've learned anything from prequels, Todd, they're always better than the original.
That's right, and there's nothing phantom about them.
So I think we've done enough show here, Todd.
Sure, what's next week on Todd and Joe Have Issues?
Next week? Oh, yes. So next week, we're going to do something a little bit out of our wheelhouse. What I chose was a book that I don't think that either one of us have read, at least in a very long time. And that would be from the Chris Claremont run of X-Men, specifically Uncanny X-Men number 201.
I don't think I've ever read that book.
Right. I probably read that book back when the X-Men were a thing. Back in, like, when they had their big, their big resurgence in the 90s. People reading all sorts of X-Men stuff. I probably read it there because I actually have it in my collection somehow. And it's the battle between Cyclops and Storm to see who gets to lead the X-Men.
Wow.
Yes.
That, I'll tell you, Claremont X-Men, any Claremont X-Men, even with Byrne or whatever, that's a big gaping hole in my, like, comic readingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always felt like by the time I got around to X-Men, it was so convoluted, and I didn't want to go back and even read the good stuff because the junk that I had read left a bad taste in my mouth. So this will be interesting.
Absolutely. I decided to pick something a little out of our collective wheelhouses for this, but something that is generally thought of online and amongst the comic reading community as a good comic book.
Okay. Can't wait to try this.
Now I think we're done.
Right.
All right. So for Todd, this is Joe closing out episode 355. Of Long Box Heroes, and we will catch you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boo!